a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Are you, like, your survival skills, are they up to scratch?
I'm here.
You're here?
Just.
Okay.
Let me tell you, if the world went down and I had to choose a car to get in, sorry, Tom, it'd be with Lingy.
No.
Because your car doesn't, that door doesn't open, that window doesn't open.
The window doesn't open, which is probably a good thing because you don't want the world ending to come into the car.
I feel like Lingy could make a fire out of sticks. No offence, Tom, but I feel like your bending skills would work for you in a tree.
Cameron, I feel like that's an offensive dig at your hair.
Oh.
It's not at all. I just feel like you would get two sticks and be like, right, I can turn this into a compass and there's fire.
Yeah.
Actually, both of you would not be as good as Jimmy James, so I'll stick with my husband to be.
Yeah, so I'm thinking Jimmy James is pretty handy at this sort of thing.
I reckon the world's going to end before he's actually the husband, though.
Okay, you can't make that joke 2 days in a row.
I didn't make it yesterday. He did.
We are talking fires here, though.
Oh, okay.
Which is important because, so just so you know, on a Friday night, I obviously go off and do some work at the footy.
Mm-hmm.
Usually a very, very late night. I get home about midnight, one in the morning.
Yeah. That's why you can't do the Friday breakfast with us.
Yeah.
So when we say it's an RDO, it's sort of an RDO, but not an RNO.
Yeah. What happens at the 6 months you're not doing football, though?
Let's not go into that. We don't need to dig too deep into
that. That's when he's setting fires.
Yeah.
While I'm away at work, Dodsy, my wife, usually has a bit of a sort of a socialise of a Friday evening.
Love Dodsy.
Nice.
Love staying in, though. Love staying in.
Second husband pops over.
Yes.
We still don't know if it's a famous one or
no.
A first
for those
I've got my suspicions.
Yeah.
For those who missed yesterday, I did find out my wife was discussing with her friends who the second husband would be if she got sick of me.
Amazing.
Great, exciting times for me. No, on a Friday night, like socialise, a little bit of a cheese platter, maybe a little glass of rosé, I think is her preferred drop. And gets a friend round. Sometimes just wants to read a book by herself and that. Anyway, this is going back a week or two and I've held on to it because she hasn't wanted me to talk about it. But
You've really been sticking it to her this week.
I'm going to do it right now because I get home at about 1 o'clock in the morning and there's this strange smell in the air, and it's the real clear smell of like that chemical of like a not petrol but a fire lighter. It's
right.
clear as
okay,
day.
Yeah.
It's a fire lighter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, Dodsy's had a fire. This is what a beautiful night. I look in our fire. We got one of those Canara sort of, you know,
of course,
with the door.
Beautiful open fire.
It's open and closed.
Yeah, you're
got
right.
The glass door there.
Yeah. And I look in there, and all I see is like a half burnt Jiffy fire lighter with some sticks piled over the top of it, which are slightly charred.
Yeah.
And some like two bits of scrunched up paper at the back, which have got some blackness to it, but partially burnt.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I thought, well, okay, something's gone wrong here, but I'll leave it alone. The next morning, when we woke up, I asked her, how'd your fire go?
Yeah.
She said, oh, well, unable to light a fire, invited a couple of friends around who brought fire lighters around to get it started. Between the three of them, they could not get even the tiniest little fire going.
Mate, you are so silly.
What happens when the world does end?
No, you were so silly. You know what that was?
What?
A witch's coven doing love spells for second husbands.
Oh. What?
Yeah. Little sticks, paper, screwed up.
Little voodoo dolls.
Your name was on that paper. Screwing it up. I'll just set it fire a little bit.
Oh, that's why my face was on. Righto. Gotcha.
Chicks are weird.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Right now we need to talk footy for GMHBA health insurance cover for the life you live.
A couple of huge announcements yesterday in the footy world, and I know champions and legends and great players, that those terms are thrown around far too often, far too loosely for my liking, but yesterday it was truly two of the absolute greats of the game announced their retirement. I want to start with the Cats flavour. Tommy Hawkins, the great Tom Hawkins, is going to retire at the end of this season. Hopefully he's still got a few more games to play. Hopefully he's got a part to play in September, which would be exciting. He's going to finish up He spoke to the group yesterday. We called the whole playing group together, all the coaches, everyone, had everyone there.
Were you there? Because you were recording the podcast yesterday.
We were mid-podcast, so we were continuing to record that. He spoke to the group. He spoke about so many nice things, about what the club's meant to him, about how much his teammates mean to him. He did have – there was one beautiful little bit where he spoke about having to break it to his kids, in particular Arabella. This is what he had to say.
It was a little bit harder telling Arabella. She was a bit emotional. She wanted me to tell everyone that I might be retiring.
Oh, bless.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. And he is a beautiful man. He's a wonderful person. He's going to be missed. I mean, not to footy perspective, footy side of things. It is so hard to get great key position players, key position forwards in particular. We've been lucky to have had him and now Jeremy Cameron. He'll be missed on the field, but geez, he'll be missed in that locker room around that club. Just a great person, a great selfless person. So it's a sad announcement when anyone announces their retirement, but it's also obviously a celebration of an incredible career.
It was beautiful that he mentioned Em and the kids and the family, because obviously it's such a big component of being able to have a career like his.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. And of course, the family connection. His dad had played at the club as well. He came to the club as a really highly rated junior, and he lived up and more to all those expectations. So well done, Hawkey. As I said, a couple more games to play. Someone who hasn't got any more games to play, unfortunately, even though he's tortured the Cats on a number of occasions. I love him as a player, one of the true greats of the game, along with Tom. Dusty Martin announced his retirement from the Tigers yesterday.
But immediately.
Immediately, yeah. You could tell his body was clearly hurting. He'd probably lost that real deep, deep drive to keep going. Richmond are struggling. It's a tough year. He's so used to playing at the highest level on the biggest stage and delivering. The only person who've won 3 Norm Smith medals in the history of the game. He lives for grand final days and big, big crowds. I think the motivation had just finally tipped over to the point where I can't do this anymore and I don't want to. And he's gonna go along to their round 24 game as a goodbye game to Dusty, but he's not going to play in it. So there'll be no farewell game for Dusty.
Can I just ask? I feel like the Dusty one was more surprising than Tomahawk. We sort of had our suspicions that this would be Tom Hawkins last year. But there's all this chat about Dusty maybe going to the Gold Coast following Damien Hardwick, who, if you remember when he left Richmond, was like, I'm done, guys. I don't want to coach anymore. I'm over this. And then, like, months later, he was like, oh, actually.
Sorry, months later? Or
was it weeks?
It felt like days later.
Yeah. Yeah. Bit like, oh, yeah. So I've actually I'm taking over the Gold Coast. What are the chances that next week Dusty turns around and goes, I've retired. We've sorted out the contracts and everything. And now I'm going to be playing at the Gold Coast next year.
I love your thinking. But I don't think it'll happen. I think Dusty's just done. Yeah. I think he's finished. He's had the most. It's like his light burnt so bright at the peak. When he was at the peak of his powers, he was the best in the comp by a mile. And then it's extinguished. I think he's just out. He's mentally, physically tired, exhausted. What a career. A true, in my eyes, the greatest Richmond player ever. Certainly older Richmond people can make arguments for others, but I think the greatest Tiger ever, and that's how he'll finish up. So what a career, Tom Hawkins and Dusty Martin. Just one quick one too. I think later on today we find out what that round 24 fixture is going to look like, the schedule. They're trying to build up a big finale so that all the games that might decide the top 8 or top 4 are all played on the Sunday.
Right.
A big finish to the home and away season. That should come later on today, I think.
Ripper. All right, that's our midweek footy update for GMHBA Health Insurance cover for the life you live.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
It's Loggy's time to analyse crime in Loggy's Crime Club.
All right, this is where we analyse TV shows, documentaries, movies, books that are true crime related and podcasts and whatnot. I want to chat about Dirty Pop, the boy band scam, which is on Netflix.
Oh, yes, I've been tempted to watch this.
Okay, this was just kind of released on Netflix a very short time ago.
Yeah, I reckon 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, maybe? Three episodes. They're both about 40 to 45 minutes long, and they're about the Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, and Lou Pearlman, who created the biggest boy bands of the 90s.
Ah, yeah.
And I mean, Backstreet Boys, love them.
This is their comeback song, and it is a banger.
We love it. And, of course, NSYNC. Baby, bye, bye, bye.
I should have played thinking, sorry, I should have played their comeback song.
No, that's okay. So you might be thinking, oh, this is a bit of a weird one for Crime Club. What's it all about? Well, it is entitled Dirty Pop. So there is some dirty business that's gone on. Now, although this hasn't got great reviews from places like The Guardian, they only gave it 2 out of 5, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really interesting.
Okay, no spoilers, just quick. Is it, so are they suggesting Pearlman?
Lou, yeah.
Lou Pearlman. Did the dodge?
There is some dodgy things that went on.
Okay.
They also have members of both bands that give you insights, and they interviewed AJ from the Backstreet Boys.
Yes,
is one
nice,
of them.
Yep.
Chris Kirkpatrick from NSYNC is another one. So it's really cool to get that insight too.
Is it the dodge of how they were formed, or is it the dodge once they made money that...
Mate.
Okay, I'm going into spoiler
interested.
Territory. Yeah,
no,
yeah,
you're
yeah.
interested, and that's why you should watch it.
Okay.
It also, there is a part where Lou wrote a book, right? And it was all about how he made his billions and boy bands and everything.
Mm.
And they use deepfake technology to make it look like he is reading excerpts from the book, and a lot of places have a problem with that because they're like, what did that have anything to do with the storyline? I mean, yeah, it's a bit weird, but it's kind of like not enough for me to hate it. I thought it was really enjoyable. 4 out of 5 for me. Closure okay. rating, 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5, cool. So you find out exactly what happened. This is an NSYNC's comeback song. Just let me take you to a better place.
I'm gonna make it kiss the sky. Actually, closure rating... It is 5 out of 5, but let's just say in some areas. I'll say, yeah.
Okay.
It's a little bit going on.
I'm going to have to check it out then.
Netflix is where you can get it. Dirty Pop, the boy band scam.
It's Loggy's time to analyse crime in Loggy's Crime Club. Woo!
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
This week is National Homelessness Week, and we thought who better to talk to than chair of the Outpost, which is a wonderful service here in town in Geelong. Amy Flinch is in the studio now. G'day, Amy.
Good morning, Tom. How are you going?
Good, thanks. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us, as always.
Now, the Outpost, just for people who don't know, is a service based just off Brougham Street here in town. Can you tell us a little bit about the Outpost?
Yeah, perfect. So the Outpost is a charity that works 365 days. We offer food and support services for those in need and experiencing food insecurity. The Outpost ultimately feeds people into the evening. The Outpost is, as the name says, it is the last point of call for people who are experiencing homelessness or those just doing it tough in our community.
There's a lot more people doing it tough nowadays because of the rising cost of living. Some people that you see at the Outpost, and Tom, you don't mention it, but you do amazing work at the Outpost
I
too.
I
you volunteer there every fortnight,
yeah.
Feeding community, yeah. And it is people that have no food, or it's people that don't know where their next meal is coming from as well. There's a variety of people in our community that need help.
Yeah, there definitely is. So the Outpost service is not just the homeless, but the food insecure. We do often see a whole diverse range of people, from people who are working and unable to put food on their tables, or people who are sleeping rough on the streets. There's a whole different cohort of age ranges that attend the Outpost. It could be your nana, or it could be your daughter bringing in her young ones, or it could be your brother who is sleeping rough or sleeping in his car. So we definitely cater to all different types of people at the Outpost, but certainly everybody is always welcome, and there are no questions ever asked at the Outpost other than, how are you?
Yeah. National Homelessness Week is a good time to shine a light on the situation as it is presently, and the increase that we have seen, particularly over sort of the last few years, of people who are suffering from food insecurity. Have you seen, like, statistically, the numbers of people utilising the Outpost go up?
Yeah, we've actually just done our yearly statistics, Tom. We have seen alarmingly a 50% rise on last year, and last year was a 50% rise on the year before. So this year's total number of meals that the outpost has served to those in need is sitting at 33,000 meals in a calendar year. So that's a significant increase for us, and it really demonstrates that people are struggling with the cost of living. I know I went to the supermarket and gasped at the cost of eggs at $7.20.
Mm.
So when you look at those things, and that's across the entire board of food costs and housing costs, we know that there is a rental crisis in Geelong where people can't afford housing and therefore end up either sleeping on couches, in their cars, or on the streets as well.
The thing with the outpost that I love as well is that when people think of homelessness or food insecurity, a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, beggars can't be choosers, for want of a better term. And some places they think, oh, I'll just donate cans or whatever it might be. But people are just, they're exactly like you and I. You know, they have different preferences. Some people are vegetarian. Some people are gluten intolerant. Some people, you know, don't want certain types of food. Like coriander is a big one that can get people's nose sticking up. So at the outpost, it's actually amazing that you have a variety of different meals to suit a lot of different needs.
Yeah, we definitely do. And you make a really good point there around beggars can't be choosers. I think the greatest learning for everybody in our community is that there is dignity through food provision, and there is dignity to every human. It doesn't matter whether you're sleeping on the streets or in your car or really just struggling to put food on the table. There is an element of dignity and choice that people deserve in our community. We see it a lot with donations as well, that people would often donate the things that they don't want. However, what people need in our community is the clothes that you would wear, or new things off the shelves, or any item that you would want to receive yourself. So being homeless isn't about it being just good enough. It is about receiving what you deserve as a human.
Now, it's obviously very cold at the moment. It's just a terrible, terrible time to be sleeping rough. And it's if, you know, every time I leave the house of a morning, obviously we start quite early in the depths of the morning, you know, and I have that moment very often where I just feel absolute gratitude for the way my life has played out. Do the numbers go up at this time of year as well? And do the needs change of the people who are, you know, struggling?
Yeah, they definitely do. One thing that community members may not be aware of is that when it rains, it is hard for people to access food relief. It is really challenging for somebody to leave a really safe and secure and dry place to go and access food services. So on the rainy nights down in Geelong, we often see decreased numbers of people accessing food support, because they're going to have to go walk in the rain, get wet, eat their meal, and then go back to where it is dry and secure.
And how are you going to dry your clothes?
Yeah, it's good.
And you might not have another set of clothes to change into, right?
Yeah. So that's one thing that people just don't consider, that when it does rain, how do those who are sleeping rough actually keep themselves dry and safe and secure?
There's a lot of people in the community that might not know that this exists, so it's such a perfect time to get the word out there. People can donate time, obviously, at the outpost, like you do, Tom, but they can also donate money and donate other services as well, not services, but other
food and stuff.
Food and products, yeah, thank you, and blankets and things like that. How do people go about getting involved?
Yeah, of course. So we are fueled by an amazing team of 86 volunteers.
Wow.
We do have regular shifts in which people can dedicate their time to support those in need. We operate 365 days. We do often seek committed and regular volunteers, because we are a community of people that get to know the people that we serve. So you can donate your time. You can also donate money. So we do take monetary donations. I do want to do a bit of a plug for Give Where You Live Foundation, who is doing an amazing event called Pitch Up. And the Pitch Up event is actually a live crowdfunding event, so it's going to be pretty cool and pretty high energy. But the high energy is actually addressing a really important cause, which is the cost of living crisis. So that's happening on the 5th of September. For us, what is really important, if you are looking to donate, is also that every donation is then matched by their beneficiaries as well. So I would highly recommend that everybody comes along to that Give Where You Live pitch up event,
mm-hmm.
And actually get involved in the community. You know, it's the biggest thing is about desensitizing the stigma of homelessness, and that it can literally happen to anybody. And we want all of the community and all of the Geelong community to be involved in this really important cause.
So the pitch up event is the 5th of September. And people can get online, Give Where You Live, and sort of find out more about that and how they get involved. Amy, thank you so much for the beautiful work that you do and that the Outpost does. And thank you for having a chat to us this morning.
Beautiful. And thank you very much on behalf of our community for hearing our story today.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast. The biggest lineup of entertainment is only on Stan. Grab your popcorn, kids. It's Tom, Lingy and Luggies. I feel seen on K-Rock and Action.
Okay, I am slightly nervous for this I Feel Seen as there's movement in the studio. Tom's dropped the headphones. He's running around. What is about to happen, I think, is Tom and Loggy are about to act out a scene from a movie, a little bit of dialogue perhaps, or maybe it's an action movie because Tommy's still running around the studio.
Keep explaining.
I am going to guess what the movie is. Now, don't forget, at the end of your acting, you've got to say, and scene. I'm thrown by the fact Tommy's still running around. Do you want me to keep talking?
He's a method actor. He needs to get into it.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
There's some sort of puffing and panting, perhaps.
All right, ready?
Over to you two.
Here we go.
All right, hang on. Huddle up. Look, I'm sure I already know this, but I've never said it out loud. I did throw that game. I did it. I was in a bad way with some worse people. After I did, I felt so shitty. I wish I would have just let them kill me instead. Now the warden wants to pin caretaker's murder on me if I don't throw this game. So it looks like I'm gonna get to know you guys a lot better because I ain't doing that thing twice in a lifetime. We got a little time left. We can still do this. I'm begging you. Put your hands in here. Okay, thank you. Who are we?
Meat Machine!
I'm glad you're back. Now I don't have to stab you.
And sing.
Beautifully done, Log. Well carried, Tommy.
Yeah, well done, Tom.
I'm assuming. Well, actually, it's either it's either The Longest Yard starring Adam Sandler or Mean Machine starring Vinnie Jones.
Oh, you have to choose.
Because there was a soccer one and there was a an American football based one.
You have to choose.
I will go with. The Longest Yard?
Yeah, let's have a listen.
I'm sure you already know this, but I never said it out loud. I did throw that game. I did it.
Tom, the method acting was spot on, mate.
I didn't know what was going on.
Just getting my cardio in.
Well done.
Well done, Lingy. Yeah, well done.
Yeah, good on you. Can always trust you to know an Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, yeah. One of the best. One of the very best.
Yeah, it's all thanks to Stan. The biggest lineup of entertainment is only on Stan. Can I just say it's been amazing having Stan in the house over the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because just being able to choose what I want to watch, when I want to watch it, replays, the different sports, different countries, everything. It's been awesome.
Watching them with India, like watching the replays with India, it's awesome. All right, so thanks to those guys. I Feel Seen returns next week.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.